cover story for local media stapled to the top. We posted them up on Infowars.com. The headline was written by Ed Homan for Infowars.com in Thanksgiving of 1998 was, "It's martial law and it's a 3 on the Richter scale." We were explaining how it was overtime creeping, how under the name of bomb disposal, that's what the media is told, but on the subsheets, this is in Police State 2, the takeover. You can go see the documents there with phone numbers. It said, "We are in warrant service, law enforcement, the regular army will aid you for anything, not just bomb disposal. Their front is bomb disposal." And now you notice the commander of the brigade countered Naomi Wolf. I want her to tell that story right now. He countered her and said, "Oh, we're just bomb disposal." They also say the jaws of life. Oh, the army's here just to help get you out of a wrecked car. So see, that's the PR front. Naomi Wolf, tell us how he tried to counter you.
Well, it wasn't my memory that they said bomb disposal, although I have to say I was so shocked that the head of that brigade took the trouble to rebut, my ordinary citizen's questions about who are these people and why are they deployed, that I was taken aback. But you can go to the Today Show transcript and see my memory is that he said, "Oh, we're here to help communities affected by weapons of mass destruction," which raises plenty of questions itself, But again, I've been reaching out to friends at the New York Times and the Philadelphia Inquirer, and maybe this doesn't shock you as much as it shocks me, but I am in shock, saying, "Where is your reporting on this?" And they said, "There's nothing on the wire services." The New York Times said off the record or on background that they're investigating, but they obviously haven't reported anything yet. So I'm in a position where citizens are coming to me saying, "Naomi, where's the 1st Brigade? What's their mission?" And, I can't tell them where they are. And I know that the latest spin, the latest PR releases, I just blogged about this yesterday on BuzzFlash, from the military, are lying to the American people about the law. The last PR out of Colorado by NORTHCOM said, conspiracy theorists are overreacting. There are laws against deploying military units on the street. But that's not true anymore. With the signing statement that Bush issued countering Congress's limitations on his excesses in the Defense Authorization Act of 2007, there aren't any laws anymore against deploying these people. I'm sorry, go ahead.
It shows their deceptiveness. Their press release in the Army Times says, "We're there for crowd control, for civil disturbances, non-lethal weapons." They're announcing the microwave guns on TV. The head of the Air Force and the Associated Press, the civilian head, the secretary said last year, "We need to use these weapons on Americans first." Because then that'll internationally allow us to use this against foreign armies. We can't under treaty. But if we use it in police actions here, the American people as guinea pigs. So there they are saying, "We're going to be domestically operating." And then they double think and say, Naomi Wolf's making this up when they themselves are admitting it. So this is the just incredible level of deception. Go ahead.
Extraordinary. Well, now I've got to say to you, Alex, honestly, I should really meditate or something before I talk to you, because it's so, I'll piece things together, and then you'll give me sources that I haven't seen, and I have to just, take my thinking to another level. And, Alex, any sources that are, kind of journalistically grounded that you want to send me so that I can blog about this, so I can raise people's awareness, because we do sort of reach different audiences, I would be very honored if you would do so.
Well, let me just do this on air. John, call Paul Watson, because I could do this myself, but I can't talk on the air and get you all these. I'm going to bring Paul, and we've got an hour and a half coming up, so plenty of time. Call Paul Watson, and I'm not bragging. In fact, it's just scary to be in this position. We discovered this just bumping into urban warfare drills in 96 in Texas. I knew nothing about it. When I witnessed troops training to confiscate guns and put Americans in FEMA camps on video admitting it's for America, and then up through 2000, and then I quit traveling because I'd already proven it. Yeah. It's only accelerated since then, but I went all over the country, Maryland, California, Alabama, North Carolina. I mean, we have video of all this and their own documents, and Marines coming up with guns and saying, "Turn your video cameras off," working with local police running checkpoints. I'll get Paul Watson on, and then he on air will give you the headlines, and because this is good to do on air to show listeners the integration of the information. Because I have to say, because I've interviewed the judge, advocate generals, and others who are against this as well, I talk about this 3 or 4 days a week for 12 years, And so that's why, and I've been screaming bloody murder, and finally you've got a bigger voice than I do because you're so respected. And, you know, you're, so we'll talk about when we get back and talk about your new film.
We're on the march.
Keep going.
The Empire's on the run.
I'll want all this on air. Total transparency for the audience. John?
Yep, I'm calling Watson right now.
Okay, I want to talk to him on air right now.
Okay.
For everybody just on the internet. To explain this, folks, AM and FM dial, shortwave, satellite, they're not hearing this, but the tens of thousands live listening, the hundreds of thousands and millions in the aggregate that listen over the next week on the podcast and the web, we're going into martial law here, so I frankly need these breaks to rest, but I'm skipping a lot of them because we're so far down the line. Did you get Paul Watson on the phone?
It's ringing.
Paul is the best I know at quickly finding things because the headline was AP, and then it was something like Secretary of Air Force says you use non-lethals on Americans first. Paul will be able to find these, and then off air, I'll have you talk to Paul. He'll give you the email, because if I forget and tell them after the show, they're so busy, they'll end up not doing it. I mean, did my guys ever send you all that stuff I said I'd have them send you?
Oh, absolutely. I got a fantastic, I got a fantastic assortment of materials, and I've looked at them and educated myself.
Okay. Well,
so I'm grateful to you.
Now, again, you know much more than I do on most subjects. I'm out here as some grand poobah. Just because you've, you know, burrowed into this and written books on it now, I know you know a lot of stuff I don't know. I know some things you don't know. We're just, again, for those in the audience watching, there's no time to play games. We're multitasking, brainstorming here on air. Did you get Paul Watson?
He said he can't make it. He's just stepping out right now. He has to go to dinner.
Oh, drag him in here now. Drag him in here on air. I know it's 6 o'clock at night over there, but drag him in. His girlfriend, Ehan, can wait. She's a sweetheart, but he's in England. Are you calling Watson back?
I'm calling him back.
Is he there? Well, just tell him I want to talk to him for a second. I'm sure he's going to Julio's, his favorite Italian place that he goes out once a week to with his girlfriend, Paul Watson.
Now, you're saying, I want to tell you a couple of other things, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
You're saying, well, first I want to tell you I met someone who came up to me after one of my events, but the trouble I'm having with this as a journalist is that many, many people are coming up to me and disclosing really important things, but they're not letting me use their names, so I can't follow up.
Naomi, we have everything. We have all of it. We know the exact attack pattern because we've gone to the grassroots. Like, Watson knows I'll twist his arm into a long time on air. Did you get him?
I got him right now.
Let me talk to him right now.
Go ahead.
Hey, Watson.
Yeah.
Hey, Paul.
I don't know why.
He's complaining in the background. Hey, Watson.
That 2 seconds.
Hey, Watson. This is a classic. This is real radio, folks. This is like reality radio. Watson.
Hello?
Do you know you've been on air complaining in the background? Here's the deal. I could ask the forum guys to do it, but this can't wait because Naomi Wolf's so influential. What was the headline last year with the Secretary of the Air Force saying they want to use the microwave guns on the American people first? What was that headline?
I don't recall that one, Alex. I recall the futurist study in Britain where they said they may have to use those weapons.
All right, well, since I got you here, we're going to do 2 minutes on air right now. Here we go. Stay there, Watson. I tell you, it's hilarious. Watson is always the best at Googling things. He may even be better than I am, but he's leaving to go to dinner, so I'm going to let him go. I knew it. I heard him and his girlfriend in the background complaining on air. That's funny for the folks listening on the web. And I know we're getting into serious issues. We got Naomi Wolf here, and I'm babbling. The point is, I need the listeners at the Prison Planet Forum to create a section right now and find me all the articles, find the sub-clip out of Police State 2, the takeover, with the Army documents. I know that link was dead on InfoWars, with the documents. Find those. Post them all right now. So before she leaves us at the end of the show, I can email those to her because time is of the essence. But bringing Paul Watson up, Paul, you brought up another key point, that British Ministry of Defense plan where they admitted the military is going to have to be used against the people of England and the United States. I guess you did do the research a few months ago. I asked you to, and you did send Naomi that, so I appreciate you doing that, Watson.
I just want to jump in and say that I did cite in Give Me Liberty an article in The New Yorker where experts on a new generation of technologies and police forces were talking about crowd control technologies that involve microwave guns, as well as, you know, tasers, which have killed 300 people, and rubber bullets, which are so lethal that, you know, they've stopped using them in the UK because they've killed so many Irish people. And something that was particularly disturbing to me about the first reports of army times that they've since backtracked on is that they were saying they're here to, quote-unquote, subdue unruly individuals. So just to, you know, be sure that I've said to you, Alex, what I want to say, why am I so scared as someone who studied closing societies, is that again and again around the world, the leader will deploy soldiers to harass or arrest voters and opposition leaders during an election.
Yeah, this is so, classic tyranny. Since we have Paul, let me just say bye to him, and then Naomi, I'm going to give you the floor. No. Well, you're going to have the floor here in just a moment. You just were shocked to hear all that stuff, so I want to make sure you get it, because what you cover actually is able to break through the mainstream media. Paul, I guess if you're not aware or don't remember that article, I'm surprised you don't. I'll just find it and give it to
you. I found one headline, Alex, which is from CNN. The link's dead, but the headline's still there. It says, Air Force Chief Test Weapons on Testy U.S. Mobs. From September 2006.
Okay, say the headline again. That's not the exact
CNN
one. The AP is the key, but say it again, Watson.
It's an AP story, which was carried by CNN. Air Force Chief Test Weapons on Testy U.S. Mobs.
Okay, yeah, that was it. Okay, see, Watson did that,
you.
Complaining and mumbling, but he did a great job. Watson, that's why I need my magic, man.
Thank you.
So good job, Redcoat. By the way,
I'll blog about this right away after I check this.
By the way, Paul, you know the British government has now announced they want to use the army and police, quote, during economic collapses. So you have the same thing going on there.
Well, listen to this, Alex. There was a Channel 4 news segment last night with a top general from Porton Down, an army general, who said that, let me get the exact quote here. He said that, quote, we have to upgrade, enhance, review, renew our activities in recent times because of increased civilian resilience. And that's the top general of the Porton Down bioweapons facility in England. He said that on Channel 4 News last night.
And the British Ministry of Defense 10-year battle plan, they call it what their prospectus, this is the declassified version, almost 200 pages, admitted the military's job is for the elite to suppress the populations who are going to be basically turned into paupers in a neo-feudal state. Watson, what's the name of that British Ministry of Defense report? I forget it.
It doesn't spring to mind at the moment.
London Guardian first broke it, but they had a hyperlink to it.
Yeah, it was in the London Guardian.
All right, I want our researchers to post everything on this, all of it now, at Prison Planet as we work for a team. Paul Watson, thank you.
Thanks, Alex.
Thank you.
Paul, are you going to Julio's to eat?
No, I don't live in that area anymore. It's a new restaurant.
Where are you going, Paul?
It's called West 10.
People can join him there and eat. Say hi to Ehan for me. All right, there goes Watson. I'm out of control. Naomi Wolf, you have the floor. Go through the steps, your new book, the new video, and the points you're making. I have done a classic Alex Jones. Go ahead.
Sure thing. Well, you know, I'm grateful to you. And it is, I guess what I do want to say is we're in a time where this kind of brainstorming among citizens, not just us, but, you know, all of my readers, all of your listeners and readers and viewers, we all have access to information that we need to educate one another about and use our critical intelligence about it and find solutions among ourselves, because clearly we can no longer trust many of our state-supported or corporate-supported institutions to do it for us. So this is exactly what people should be doing across the country, is bringing each other information and checking it out and planning for action. So very quickly, the 10 steps, well, invoke a terrifying internal and external threat, often a real one, create a prison system outside the rule of law where torture takes place, develop a paramilitary force not answerable to the people, create a surveillance apparatus aimed at ordinary citizens, start to infiltrate and harass citizens' groups, start to target key individuals, start to arbitrarily detain and release citizens, you start to create legislation, we're seeing it more and more, you mentioned the RNC-8, legislation that criminalizes speech or expands the definition of terrorist or traitor or spy so that ordinary citizens who are engaged in dissent get criminalized. Then you start to see restrictions of the press, like the arrests of journalists we spoke about, And finally, we're at step 10, which is subvert the rule of law and make it easier to declare martial law. And so, to just make sure that I tell you the hopeful news, it's that I did, since we last spoke, Alex, study times and places where citizens effectively fought back against encroaching darkness of this kind. And so I learned what always works. And I offer citizens in Give Me Liberty, which is the sequel to The End of American, which is just out now, exactly those lessons from other times and places where citizens did fight back as real patriots and revolutionaries. But I also go to the founding generation, ordinary people from all walks of life who were captivated by this vision of liberty we were supposed to inherit. And I go back to the seven core principles we're supposed to hold on to as Americans in a time of crisis like this, and in a time where we're being bombarded with what I call fake patriotism to accept what I call a fake democracy, a sham of a democracy. And finally, I give citizens at the end of Give Me Liberty 55 action steps they can take in building this new army, a transpartisan army of patriot revolutionaries, taking back the power that we should be having.
Oh, I love that term, transpartisan.
Yeah, it's important.
No longer being... Okay, now go back to Posse Comitatus, the points you were trying to make earlier when I kind of went off the rabbit trail of ferreting documentation for you. And then later, I did find the AP article, and it's exactly as we said. And,
well, I'm so glad, but in the meantime, just before I go back to it, why... I mean, I feel stupid asking you this because I'm in the mainstream media, but why aren't any mainstream news outlets covering the deployment of the 1st Brigade? The ACLU just filed a Freedom of Information request demanding to know where they are and what they're here for. But I'm just gobsmacked that there's no independent reporting. And the one thing I was wondering is, do you think it's classified? I mean, are journalists in a position that they're not reporting on it because it's considered classified?
Yeah.
What's your view of that?
Yes, and we have the classified documents fell into our hands because an FBI agent on the day before Thanksgiving in just south of Temple on I-35, the Army came up and told Mike Hansen, my camera guy who was driving back from visiting family, to turn his camera off, and Mike refused. So the FBI showed up an hour later and gave him classified documents by accident. And then
Are you serious?
No. They had gotten Mike's number. Uh-huh. They had asked for it, and he gave it. And they called a few hours later after he left his cell phone demanding it back. In fact, get me Mike Hansen. I'm going to – later in the next hour, we'll get Mike on. I mean, there's video of all this, Naomi. It's on video. The FBI pulling up and giving it to him. They completely screwed up.
Right, but why? How does this go to why journalists aren't covering the deployment of the 1st Brigade?
Because their editors, I mean, it came out that Bush has spent billions a year on fake news reporters and Operation Mockingbird. But again, in intelligence, mm-hmm. and I know you know this, I'm just for the audience, and I know most of them know it. The point is, in intelligence, you can always hear the official propaganda from the mountaintop, but then you can go on the ground and assess it and observe it. And I mean, I remember in 1999 going to Urban Warrior. This is bipartisan. This is right. The military-industrial complex, COG, continuity of government. And there are the Marines training with role players, over 200 of them, with foreign troops, screaming, "I'm an American, please know not the camp." And then the Marines were allowing me to videotape. Well, first off, let me explain this. They had journalist tours to the part of the city and a university that was shut down for the urban warfare drills practicing taking over an American city. Uh-huh. And for journalists, they would say, "This is for Bosnia. This is for Macedonia." But then I sent people in, local activists, because they knew who I was. The Marines wouldn't let me get in there. Mm-hmm. I sent in activists posing as citizens who wanted a tour. Mm-hmm. And for them, they would show Marines doing interrogations. "Where are you from?" "I'm from San Francisco." "Where'd you get the weapons?" And so then I would watch. This is all on video, by the way. Mm-hmm. So we sent infiltrators in. And then I had this former Marine Corps captain who was in private. He was their PR guy, Steve Jones, following me. He's on video running up saying, "Get out of here, Jones." Trying to block me when I'm at the fence videoing. But little did he know I had people inside. Mm-hmm. The cordoned off area. They had 2,000 Marines, foreign troops, tanks, helicopters. It was so shocking with the Coronado landing, the amphibious attack ship, with the amphibious craft landing in Oakland, that I put it out. And people couldn't believe it. They thought I had hired tanks, helicopters, and armies.
I've got to hand it to you, Alex. You are very resourceful. That's extraordinary. I mean, I could see, just to be kind of measured, because this is really a time to kind of triple think everything, not to hold us back, but I could see a legitimate government with legitimate interest in its citizens' well-being doing, you know, a mock evacuation scenario, you know, out of good intentions. But what I'm hearing more and more about the deployment and why now after 200 years, and, you know, I just posted a piece on BuzzFlash that people can read where I quote members of military circles and police forces and National Guard saying, hey, wait a minute, you know, why do we need these soldiers since, you know, the National Guard can do this, and, you know, we've got police forces who can do this, and we've got emergency people trained in evacuation who can do this. You know, many people are raising a hue and cry.
Naomi,
obviously,
yeah, no, go ahead.
And the last thing I wanted to say is what chills me particularly is I have this wonderful, heroic, patriotic American major from the Air Force, David Antoun, who's a hero whom I interviewed in Give Me Liberty. He stood up to the Bush administration, and his whole family's on the watch list now. But I said to him, because I'm a civilian, I said, so, Major Antoun, if the, you know, first he explained to me that these warriors don't, you know, answer to Congress, and they don't answer to the people, they answer to the president. And I said, so if the president says arrest these citizens, what happens? And he said, they have to do it. And I said, well, if the president says arrest Congress, what happens? And he said, they have to do it. And I said, well, if senior members of the military say, you know, don't obey these orders, what happens? And he said, well, they get arrested, because these orders, the horror is, these orders are not illegal. Soldiers are allowed to disobey illegal orders. They are now legal. What they are is immoral.
Yeah, but those signing statements have been thrown out on its face, and there's no Fuhrer precept or Nixon saying, you know, it's not illegal when the president does it. The Congress is co-equal. And just because Lincoln arrested a few members of Congress, that was later thrown out of court, but that was done retroactively, and newspaper editors. So Congress is co-equal, just like PDD 51, the Homeland Security Committee this year wanted to see it, and the executive said, no, you can't, but the cover sheet says that Bush is basically dictator. So on its face, that is a fraud, and unfortunately, the media is spinning what you're saying as you're saying George Bush will do this by the election, and what I get from what you're saying is, no, this apparatus has been set up, and the office of the presidency has built this around itself, whether it's Barack Obama or whether it's John McCain, this threat continues. Can you speak to that?
Sure. And, you know, let me stress, how can I put this? It's really important for us to understand, to think differently. We're not in you know, constitutional republic time now. We're in police state time, in the sense that it doesn't have to happen at a certain time frame for it to be a dangerous precedent. I mean, that's what, and I'm not being a radical extremist in saying this, this is how the founders wanted us to think. They wanted us to be just as freaked out that, you know, that the president has arrogated a private army to himself, whether or not he does anything with that private army before the election, after the election. They want us to freak out that that has taken place, because it upends this delicate system of checks and balances and this absolutely delicate fabric of freedom that we have in America, or that we're supposed to have, in which, you know, we do not face soldiers, you know, on our streets, in our homes, terrifying us, because you can have all the institutions of civil society intact. You can have a judiciary, you can have newspapers, you can have you know, a parliament or a Congress, but if you've got soldiers, you know, look at Italy in 1920, look at Germany in 30, 31, 32. They were still parliamentary democracies, but the brown shirts or the black shirts were deployed, you know, to beat up this editor in Milan, or to, you know, intimidate these voters in Perugina, or to line the halls of the Reichstag, you know, in Germany.
That's right. It's their menacing, intimidation. It's their menacing and intimidating the Congress. Naomi, did you know that members of Congress on the day of the bailout were threatened that Friday with physical martial law if they did not pass the bailout plan?
Well, speak to me more about that, because I'm having a very interesting experience, and I'm glad to be speaking to you about it.
John, pull up the congressman. We had him on air, too.
That I know. I've been following this, and actually I mentioned it, Alex, in a radio interview that was posted on YouTube that went very, very viral, in which I was saying, look at the 1st Brigade and look at what Brad Sherman has said in C-SPAN about, you know, individual members of the House being threatened with, quote-unquote, martial law in America if the bailout
so there, I mean, there you have it, though. This is the menacing, the out-of-control criminal executive looting everything, taking trillions, not $700 billion, into offshore corporations and banks. I mean, this is it. It's here. We're under martial law now.
Alex, before we, I mean, yes, in the sense of, how can I put this? I want to be a little bit more measured, because I don't want people to conclude that it's over. I want people to conclude that
No. They've turned it on, and they're trying to implement it incrementally with, hey, the Army's here to help people get out of wrecked cars.
Exactly.
Again,
exactly.
That's the, oh, look, the Army's here to help get us out of the broke-down car.
It's the stealth coup. But do we have a second source for the Brad Sherman assertion? Has he confirmed it?
Yes. No. I had Brad Sherman on, and I talked to other members of Congress who will not come on the show, and they said that, no, they were told martial law is going to be declared if you don't do this.
Wow.
I mean, I had Brad Sherman on the show, and he, by the way, is a lawyer, a specialist on all this. Stay there, Naomi Wolf. We're going to continue to talk about this. In fact, I'm just going to skip this break right now.
Are you sick of...
John, let's just skip it. That way, for the internet audience, I can cover this. If you Google, what I Googled was Air Force test weapons on unruly crowds, and then the AP has been pulled. It was up for about a year. It's suddenly gone. It's been pulled, but LexisNexis can get it for you, but a bunch of other websites saved it. Air Force chief proposes testing pain guns on unruly Americans, and it goes on to say that the Secretary of the Air Force, Michael Wayne, said, we're up for re-election. We doubt that this proposal to test non-lethal weapons on American citizens before deploying them abroad would win him any votes. Specifically, Wayne told Associated Press, if we're not willing to use it here against our fellow citizens, then we should not be willing to use it in a wartime situation, because if it hits somebody with a non-lethal weapon and they claim that it injured them in a way that was not intended, I think that I would be vilified in the world press.
Mm-hmm.
That would certainly, and then he goes on to say, so use it on the American people. And then Wired magazine last week, or actually 10 days ago, reported in the headline that the pain microwave guns do cause death. That's in the headline.
Jesus.
So just Google microwave guns death. And in fact, let's just do that together right now. Let's just Google microwave guns death.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, microwave gun death. And
how can you bear the strain of absorbing these streams of information? I'm having a hard time with just wrapping my brain around the deployment of the 1st Brigade.
Well, we're in a war situation here.
Yeah.
And so we just got to be cool and get the info out.
Right.
But I mean, just like you're doing a great job. Okay. I'm not going with the right headline here. Let me try Army's non-lethal weapon death. Let me see. Army non-lethal... No. Crowd control death. That's it.
The New Yorker piece that I cited in Give Me Liberty definitely talked about the microwave guns. What they do is they raise the... If I remember this correctly, they basically microwave people. I mean, they raise the body temperature, you know, to this excruciating degree from a long distance position.
I'm gonna try death and then Wired magazine. And again, we're just on the internet right now, so we're kind of just cooling our heels here doing some research. It's driving me crazy. Somebody will post it in the Prison Planet forum, and then I can just copy it all and email it to you, Naomi. But no,
thank
I mean
you very much.
But the big point I didn't make earlier was, then I'd go back to my hotel at night for these 4 days watching the Marines in 99, and they would announce, the Marines are not doing this for in the U.S., they're doing this for in Macedonia and other missions. And then I would be there knowing they would tell the press that, and then letting citizens actually see it was for the... I mean, I have it on video, Naomi.
Right. No, I will look. Of course I'll look. The trouble, I have an easier time presenting an argument that is taken seriously when I can use print sources. It's hard for me to convey videotape footage in a way that is taken seriously by a sort of more mainstream debate.
Well, you're,
but I will take a look.
Yeah, you're free to use any of the clips from Police State 2000, Police State 2, The Takeover, Police State 3, Total Enslavement. This is back when I was the... Oh, we're back live on the show. Here we go.
Okay.
Mural Stonewall, 1903 to 1954. She lost both of her babies in the second...
It's the old frog in the pot analogy. We were on a 3 in the Richter scale with martial law back in 98. We're about a 6.5 right now. Maybe a 7 with the announcement of these brigades. But also in Road to Tyranny, I interview a Marine Corps captain who saw an Army checkpoint at I-35 in 2000 and got mad. So he contacted me, showed me all the documents. They had secret programs in the late 80s with Marines dressing up in police uniforms in Norfolk, Virginia, doing gun raids and drug raids. So they've been covertly doing this for a long time, Naomi. So and it goes back to Rex 84. But please continue with all your great research as we continue to collate more information here on air.
Well, what I just wanted to say from my point of view is that, you know, when we say, well, we're at 7 in terms of martial law, I think the thing that I want us to think about is that part of what gets us to 7 is, say, the deployment of troops or passage of laws like the Defense Authorization Act of 2007 and so on. But part of what gets us to 7 and 8 and beyond is people's complacency in the face of it. So to me, the psychological piece of how we receive this is very, very important. And this is, again, why I went back to the founders and the founding generation. We really have to, you know, what I learned from the research I did in Give Me Liberty is that you can't reclaim liberty without a psychological shift in ordinary people first. What I learned is that America is supposed to be not a landmass and not a system of government primarily, but first a psychological state in which there's an inner sense of freedom, an inner commitment to freedom, and a personal conviction to be outraged and not stand for it when tyranny and oppression raise their heads. And, you know, I did find that we are being brainwashed now, not just for the last 8 years, which have been dramatic, but the last 30 years, in a messaging about what I call fake patriotism, where, for instance, you know, we're taught that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which is interpreted as kind of just relax and shop, you know, is the meaning of the Declaration of Independence. But in fact, Alex, the second paragraph we're never taught, which is, you know, that the Declaration of Independence is actually a personal commitment demanded of each and every American to stand up against tyranny and oppression wherever it raises its head, but also to confront and bring down the government if it engages in repression and tyranny against the people, in a war against the people. We're committed to being revolutionaries as Americans. There's just been this like 30-year messaging. You know, it's so much deeper than just this deployment. It's been like this messaging to get us to go to sleep, get us to forget our rights. I found out that, you know, civics education is disappearing from half of U.S. high schools. You know, kids are going to college now not knowing what a republic is supposed to look like. You know, not knowing what their liberties are, let alone recognize them being threatened. You know, we're being told that patriotism is about never criticizing the government or supporting any military intervention, whereas I discovered that the great Americans, the great patriots, held a mirror up to America and that's what we're supposed to do. So I really want to stress the first shift for us is to be outraged when we hear about the deployment, to be outraged when we see this war against citizens and
all
to
right.
take on this.
Yeah, stay there. We'll be right back in 1 minute.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
A day unlike any other in the long course of American history, a terrorist act of war against this country.
The enemy struck America on September 11th. But who is the enemy?
Bin Laden.
This is his M.O.
We have to look to the Middle East. We have to look to Osama bin Laden.
Fabled Enemies is the first 9/11 film to take a close look at the terrorist ties to intelligence networks inside the United States.
Some U.S. investigators believe that there are Israelis again very much engaged in spying.